Here in James chapter 2, we took a look here. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And we said, well, wait a minute. And we took a look over in Romans chapter 4. We took a look over in Galatians chapter 3. And we saw there that in regards to a justification of the sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, you won't get it done by works and by the law and by trying to develop your own righteousness. It won't happen. It's impossible. Because what we've got, we've been given, and what we've got is corrupted by our sin. And what do we have that God wants? Nothing. Nothing. We need the righteousness of His Son laid on us, and we need our sin put on Him. That's salvation. That's justification. The Lord justifies us so. And so we saw that that is how it is there in that justified by faith, believing. God says it. And the Spirit of God works on us and speaks to us and makes us alive. And we say, yes, 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 Jesus is my rescue. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my Savior. He came and lived and suffered, bled and died, was buried and rose again for the likes of me, for this sinner's sin. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen? Like the man in the temple there prayed with the publican. Not the Republican, but the publican. And so, we saw that that's there. But here, James is talking about faith. And can you just have faith and faith alone? It is a claim, because that's what it is to have faith, but it doesn't lead you to move or work in any way? Is it saving faith? Is it real? Is it so? Was not Abraham, our father, verse 25, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Remember how it says over here in chapter 1? I know it's been a little while. Verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work that ye may perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We've got a little niece, our niece, Cecilia. Most of you have seen her or met her. Manny and Phillip's oldest daughter, oldest child. And the Lord brings something our way. We talked about the temptations that are there, which are trials from the Lord that make our faith grow and stretch us, work us. We talk about the temptation that Satan advertises out in the world and maybe even uses unsaved people to bring that to us and tempt us with that unto sin. It's with sin unto sin. But the Lord brings a trial our way, allows a trial to come our way so that we might grow in faith, so we might be exercised, so it might be made manifest that we are His child and that we might grow by trusting Him in it. And the Lord brings a trial our way, and we do like Cecilia. Hebrews talks about that. You realize that? It says, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Because when I don't want to go through this, our flesh says, but if it's of the Lord or by the allowance of the Lord, it'll be for our benefit. Remember Job? I'm not volunteering to be tried that way. But the Lord did it for him to grow, and did he grow? Shake your head up and down. He did. He did. He did. When the Lord said, Abraham, take your only begotten son that I've promised to you, that the promise is through, and take him over there so many days' journey to that mountain and sacrifice him there, Abraham went, no, he didn't. From any indication in the Scripture that we get, he didn't. He said, okay. Because he believed, we've read in the Scriptures that God could raise His Son from the dead. He believed when God said, it's going to be in Isaac, not in Ishmael, but it's going to be in Isaac. That child that you're going to have at 100 years old, by the wife that I said that you're going to have him by, the one that I've promised that the blessing will be through, it's going to be through him. Now take him up there and sacrifice him. And Abraham said, okay. Okay. Why? Because he believed the Lord. And you know what the believing did? It put it into walking. His son says, well, Daddy, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? What's Abraham say? Lord will provide a sacrifice. Days. Not a few hours. Not a 45-minute drive. But they've traveled for days carrying the fire and sustaining the fire and carrying the wood. I'll be honest with you. As I got closer to the mountain with Nathan, I'd start sweating. But Abraham took him up there and bound him and made the thing and made the pile of wood and took him and put him up there and got the knife out and was proceeding. And the Lord says, now I know that you believe me. He was tested of the Lord, wasn't he? Oh, and there was a blessing for it, wasn't there? As he prophesied and said, the Lord will provide a sacrifice, and he did in the ram for his son. And he did for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God! Praise God for the wonderful manifestation of that. Isaac is a type of the Lord up to that point, but he just can't get the whole job done because there's no one, nothing that's a type of the Lord completely with the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was faithful. He was justified. It showed that he believed. Oh, yeah. I believe that God can do anything. I can believe this. I believe that. Yeah, the talk is cheap, but when it comes down to life, living, illness in our families, salvation being needed of a child, somebody being sick, even somebody dying, losing our job. That's real. That's been experienced by some of the members of our church. Do we believe the Lord then? Getting so very ill that it can't work. It's easy for me to talk about it. But when it gets down to that, believing the Lord then? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his worked with his works? And by works was faith made perfect by that stretching, by that exercise, and by that trial. The kid sang it. Faith is just believing what God said he will do. You know what he's told us that are saved, that he's saved? I will never leave you nor forsake you. But when the bank account starts getting low, when the Apostle Paul said, no man stood with me. That's what the Apostle Paul, towards the latter part of his ministry, seemed to become a very unpopular fellow. Yeah. And I know some of you all are going through stuff. You're going through it. But do we believe the Lord all the time? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect. Obeying the Lord Are we seeking the Lord's faith and seeking the Lord's face in the bad times? Listen, brothers and sisters, we need to be seeking the Lord's face in the good times. We need to be obeying when it's easy to obey. You know what? If you and I don't obey when it's easy to obey, we won't obey when it's hard to obey. There's a trial in heaven little, and there's a trial in heaven much. Yeah. James talked to us about the rich man and the poor man over here in the first chapter. Verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." There's other places that's mentioned. We've read some of those. Take a look over here at Hebrews 11 real quick. Hebrews 11, just a couple pages over. We saw this in the message we preached in the honor roll of faith here in Hebrews 11, verse number 8. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went, not by sight, but by faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise and in a strange country, dwelling in a tent. I don't know if in Ur of the Chaldees or Haran he lived in a tent. But from the time he started following God to the day he died, he lived in a tent. Wait a minute. I don't know if I can follow the Lord like that. To go live in a tent. But he believed that that's what the Lord wanted him to do, and he followed the Lord in it. Why? It goes on to tell us, doesn't it? "Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He talked about it and passed it on to them, and then in time the Lord spoke to them directly and dealt with them directly. For he, because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." He looked for what God promised. He looked for what the Lord had told him he would give him, even though he had to live in the tent in the meantime. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Back there in James chapter 2, "It was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called..." What a testimony, what a blessing of a testimony to be called the friend of God. The friend of God. Wouldn't it be great for the Lord to call us His friend? Well, in His church He has, hasn't He? He said, "I call you friends because I'm telling you everything the Father's told me." Oh, may the Lord help us to see what He's done for us. Over here in about this in verse 23, the Scripture was fulfilled. Genesis 15. Turn over there real quick. Let's read about that. Genesis 15. Wonderful chapter about before the Lord had changed Abram's name. And he's left out of Haran, and the Lord's given him some victories. And in verse number 1 of chapter 15, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, thy shield, thy exceeding great reward." Tell you what, that's the biggest blessing that the Lord's laid on you and me, is giving Himself to us. The stuff pales in comparison. The stuff pales in comparison to the Lord extending to us to be able to commune with Him, have fellowship with Him, have a relationship with Him. Nothing else will even get up there to start to compare with that. And He said, I am your blessing. I'm your shield. I'll protect you. I'm your reward. I'm your provision. I'm everything you need. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. He's dealing with how it's going to be accomplished yet. And the Lord's, as the Lord does, is revealing more and revealing more and revealing more. You know what? If you and I don't believe and pursue after and diligently go after what the Lord reveals to us at first, if we don't obey in that, pursue that, follow that, we won't get another dose. You hear? We won't get any more. Because until we get that, you know why people, you know why there's people, and it is so in our church, and I don't say this to be mean, but you know why that we have members of our church that don't grow? Because they don't avail themselves to the first page. They don't avail themselves to the simple and the easy part. And until that happens, it won't go any further. Just the way it is. You know why? Because until we take and we soak up the first thing that the Lord gives us, we don't even comprehend that there's anything further. We don't even comprehend that there is a blessing greater than what we've got, a fellowship with the Lord that's greater than what we have. Until we get very familiar with what the Lord's shown us right up front. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Do what you know to do. And then the Lord will give more. It's a principle that the Lord explains and tells about in physical terms. He says, a man that's working for another man, if that master, if you will, gives him something to be responsible with, and it's very small, if he's not responsible with that, who's going to give him his own to be responsible with? Won't be. Won't happen. When the Lord gives us this out of His book, and we're not responsible and obedient to that, we won't get any more. And we won't see that there's any more that's there. The Lord's dealing. He says, I don't see how I can have an heir. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, not Eleazar, not Ishmael, but he that shall come forth of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth. Ishmael's not there yet. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, show us how thy seed be. This man's 90-some years old. His wife can't have a baby anymore. And God's saying that to him? It's craziness. From the human standpoint, that's nuts. But Abram, listen to what he said. He said, look to the stars, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of Ur, the Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years, and a ram of 3 years, turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all of these, and divided them in the midst, laid each piece one against the other, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the river, great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. What's that all about? The Lord said, Abram, make a sacrifice. And Abram's trying to keep all the birds off of it. And he works on it, and he works on it, and he works on it till he's plumb wore out. And the sun's going down. And he sleeps. And that horror of darkness comes on him. The Lord brings on him. And then the Lord says, Abram, you are helpless to bring anything to pass. You can't last long enough to keep the birds off of the sacrifices. Abram, I've made you a promise, and I'm going to bring it to pass. And who made a covenant? The Lord and Abram? The Lord made a covenant with Abram. Abram had nothing to do with it other than what? Believe it. See? You see what? See what it's telling us? See what it's telling us? It's the Lord that makes us a promise, and it's a Lord that'll bring it to pass. Do you and I believe it? Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Do we hear it? He had to hear it, didn't he? Do we believe it? Do we trust in the Lord that He'll bring it to pass? See how those things go together there? Do we have confidence that the Lord will do so? The whole package is called faith. You see? You see how that is? Back in James. Back in James chapter 2. And so when the Lord told Abraham to go take Isaac, he said, yep, here we go. And that scripture once again, it was fulfilled there, and we read there in Genesis 15. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, it was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. If our faith that we say we have has not been given to us by God, it won't last. It's going to wear out in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. It's going to wear out. It's going to show up. We may not want to believe that it's showing up. But if we have that faith that the Lord gives, if we have that confidence in Him that says, no matter what God says, I believe it. And Lord, being my helper, I'm going to do it. And when the Lord brings another part of His Word to me, and I see that I need to change my life in this way, I'm going to put it to work, and I'm going to follow it. That's faith. And that is a saint persevering. That is a saint persevering in the Lord. We see here that man can't be justified just by talking about faith, but by showing what it leads him and drives him and purposes in him through the Lord to do. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Rahab. David's great-great-grandma. I think three greats. Two greats or three greats. She said, we've been hearing about you all. We've been hearing about your God. Your God works like no God that's here at Jericho. And I want your God. That's what she told him. He said, I'm going to hide you. And I'm not going to tell the authorities that you're here. But when you come to this city and the Lord surely delivers it into your hand, will you remember me and my household? And they said, we sure will. We sure will. Said, put out that scarlet thread, that scarlet cord out of the window of your house, and we'll spare you and your family. And the Lord delivered the city into their hand, didn't He? See, she believed their God was as powerful as they said in the rumor that came their way to Jericho said that He was. Those Egypt being destroyed. See, tradesmen came from Egypt and said, you know what happened over in Egypt? The Israelites loaded up out of the Goshen there, and that place was destroyed. You know what happened? There was this thing about all the firstborn in every house, whether it was a cow, a cat, a dog, a rabbit, or a person. Every firstborn in every house in Egypt was killed. But you know what they said happened down there to the Israelites in Goshen? Nobody died. And Egypt is a wreck. Don't go down to Egypt to trade. They don't have any money. The word got around. And then the other nations that they encountered and that they whipped up on and destroyed, the word got around. And she said, we've heard it. We've heard of the terror that the Lord is sending before you. And I want your God. I want Him to be my God. And was she taken in? David's great, great, great grandma, Rahab. But she believed it. And then she said, I'll hide you. And when it's time, go out this way so they can't see you. She put her neck on the line because she believed and trusted in the Lord. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. He asked that question, and the answer is yes. Yes, she was. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Mrs. Taylor, Thursday, her spirit left her body. Friday, when she died. When we have seen those that we know of that has died, that body's just not the same as it was when they were alive, is it? The soul is left. The soul is going out into eternity. As the Scripture says, to the soul's long home, to return back to the Lord who gave it, for the Lord to reckon the judgment of that soul and the place of that soul. For the Lord to work that. As the body without the spirit or the soul is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If our faith doesn't have any legs on it, because of a love for our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if our faith doesn't have any obedience on it, because of our love for our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and hearing Him and obeying Him and conforming to Him, right? Remember that this morning? By transforming, that metamorphosis, that renovation, that reconstruction of our mind like His mind, if that isn't happening, but it's just a faith, it's just talk, that passage says it's dead. How about you? How about me? How do we stand before the Lord? Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read a few more scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 2, and the apostle writing to the church here at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar passage to us. And we sure love verse 8 and verse 9, and it's true. It is true. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen and amen. It is indeed. Not of works. Because we sure can't brag on ourselves, lest any man should boast. But verse 10, do we claim it as well as we do the others? For For we are His workmanship. Amen. That's what those other verses have told us. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what the Lord expects. Good works. Works that are good. Good works. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's the purpose, plan, and order that God's made. His children are to walk in good works. But is it possible for us to not to? Yep. Is it pleasing to the Lord? Nope. Are we admonished to walk and have good works? Yes. Indeed we are. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Over and over again, preacher. Tell them over and over again. Affirm them constantly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That they maintain works and that they make sure they're good. Good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Knowing that he that is such is subverted, he's turned the wrong way and sinneth. He's chasing not after righteousness, but after wickedness, being condemned in himself. Their sin is showing that they are in error, going the wrong way. But the Lord says, in verse number, He gives some instruction about to bring some people and such as that. Verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Unfruitful. And then, and we already read in Ephesians chapter 2. Good works. Good works that show our faith. You know, it says in John chapter 3 that the one that's saved, the one that's been born again, likes to come up to the light, not to show off, not to brag on themselves, but that they're comfortable in the light because they like the light of the Lord, they like the truth of the Lord, they like His Word, and they're comfortable getting up against the light. Why? So it can be made manifest that the Lord is working in them. That they're good works that are wrought in God. God's working in me. God's working in me. And when I obey the Lord, when I believe Him in what He says, and I apply it and take it and put it to use in my life, I don't mind getting up there close to the Lord and fellowshipping with Him. And it'll show to those around and be a witness to them of the truth. And when somebody that's doing well and doing right and following the Lord gets around me and I'm disobeying, that light's shining. The light is shining on them because the Lord's working in them and they're being obedient. They're being pleasing to the Lord. They're pursuing after the Lord and I'm not. What's it do? It condemns me. That's the way it works. It condemns me. I want to get away from that light when I'm sinning. So I need to repent. Get it out of my life. And have good works for my Savior, for my Lord, because He has saved me. That I might be a good witness. Might be usable of Him. Maybe be used to sow. Amen. Maybe be used to water. Praying always that God will give the increase. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. No amount of denying it, ignoring it, thinking about other stuff, going off daydreaming in your head, putting it out of your mind, you're young, you got life to live, you think that you got the whole world in front of you. You know, life can be over like that. And you can go out into eternity like that. you're a sinner and you've got a soul that's going to live forever somewhere, and you need to see that you're guilty, and you need to repent before the Lord and call out unto Him that He would touch you and that He would save you. Salvation's of the Lord, Jonah 2:9. Go unto Him and ask Him to save your wretched soul. Give you faith to believe. And we pray that the Lord will work.